Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we have a difficult gospel to deal with today, and I want to just begin with what's going on here. We know, of course, the scribes and Pharisees throughout the gospels are those people who were concerned with observing the very letter of the law and did everything that the law required on an external level, and they thought that they would be saved just by doing that. That they were good enough just by doing that. And, you know, to their credit, this was kind of a feat. I've preached a little bit on this before, but the law was 613 different things, precepts, things that you had to do or didn't do or had to do in a certain way. So this is a pretty difficult thing to do, but the reason why our Lord is constantly butting heads with the scribes and Pharisees in the gospel is not because they're observing the law, but because they're only doing it externally, and they're never allowing it really to sink in and actually affect their interior dispositions and actually to affect their real relationship with God. And so our Lord kind of raises the bar, and he says, your righteousness needs to surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees if you want to get to heaven. And what is he saying by that? He's saying it's not enough to simply observe the externals. And what I think he's getting at, and stick with me for this, I think what he's getting at is when we think about sin, we think about something that we do or something that we say. And the Lord gives some of those examples. He says, you know, you've heard it said that, you know, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't commit adultery, don't bear false oaths, meaning don't get up and say that you're going to tell the truth and publicly witness to everyone that you're going to tell the truth and then not actually tell the truth. But he raises the bar and says it's not enough simply to not do these things. He raises the bar and says we can't even think them, to imply that it's possible to sin not just in what we do and in what we say, but in what we think. And we know this, but it's good to remind ourselves sometimes. We pray this in the Confiteor, in the beginning of the Mass. In what I have done and what I have failed, in my thoughts and my words, and what I have done and what I have failed to do. We just prayed that 10 minutes ago. So we know this. We know that it is possible to sin just in our thought. Do you know this? Do you know that it's possible to mortally sin just in thought? Has that ever occurred to you? That's something interesting to think about. Now, follow me very carefully here, because whenever I talk about sin, I don't want anyone to misunderstand what I'm saying or not hear me properly, so please listen very carefully. Whenever we talk about sin, and especially mortal sin, we know that there are three conditions present for sin to be mortal sin. It has to be grave matter, and this is what the Lord is giving some examples with, killing, adultery. But not only grave matter, you have to know that what you're doing is wrong, and you have to freely choose to do it. And if any of those three conditions are lacking, then it's not mortal sin, and it might not even be sin at all, depending on which of those three conditions are lacking. But what the Lord is saying here is that it's not just, well, if I commit adultery physically, if I actually engage in the marital embrace with someone who's not my spouse, obviously that's grave matter. But the Lord is saying it's grave matter if you even do it in your head. And if those other two conditions are present, that you know what's wrong and you freely choose it, well, then that's mortal sin. That you could commit mortal sin just by thinking lustfully. Now, I also need to make another clarification here. The Lord is not talking about simple temptation. The devil is constantly going to throw, the devil and the world and the flesh are going to constantly throw temptations at us. So it's not like, oh, I just experienced a lustful thought, or, oh, I experienced a temptation to anger, or someone said something that really bugged me. No, that's part of being a human being. That we're going to experience temptation. It's, what do I do with that? Do I sit there and entertain it, and that's where sin comes in? That's what our Lord is talking about? Or do I write it off and try to get it away and push it out as soon as possible and try to handle it as the Lord would handle it? And we know, of course, that our Lord experienced every temptation that we will ever experience and yet never sinned. So we know that it's possible. We know that our Lord got angry and dealt with it properly and didn't sin. The Gospels tell us that in the temple when he was flipping the tables and whipping people out, It was a righteous kind of anger. So it's not, I want to make this clear, it's not that, oh, I can't, you know, if I experience a lustful thought, I've mortally sinned. No, you can experience 500 lustful thoughts in a day and not commit a venial sin. You can be tempted to anger all the time and not commit a venial sin, depending on how we handle it. Do I dismiss it right away? Do I fight back? Do I deal with it as the Lord would deal with it? Or do I entertain it? And that's what the Lord is getting at. I just want us to remember that and to keep that in mind, that sin is not just something we do or say, but it can be something we think. And this is why the Lord is telling us that it's not enough simply to do and say good, holy things, but that we need to get it out of our heads even. And just to wrap up, this is the same message that we see in the first reading and in the second reading. In the second reading, of course, St. Paul reminds us, the Spirit scrutinizes everything. God is everywhere and fills all things. And we get this message, of course, in the first reading as well. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. The eye of God are on those who fear Him. He understands man's every deed. Sometimes we think that God is kind of just looking down on us from heaven, and so long as He doesn't see us do anything bad, and so long as He doesn't hear us say anything bad, that we're going to be fine. But it's important to remember that it's not just God looking down on us and watching what we do and what we say, but that He can hear our interior thoughts. He knows what's in our heart. Now, this might scare some of us, but it should also reassure some of us. Because what this means is we don't need to worry about other people thinking the wrong thing. Because sometimes we can do something that is the right thing to do, and we know that this might look bad to someone else who doesn't really know what's going on, who doesn't have the full story here. If they just see me doing this, they might wonder, you know, they might think something's up. But if we're doing it for the right intention, if our intention is upright, the Lord knows that. The Lord knows what's in our heart. The Lord knows why we're saying and doing and thinking what we are. Now, the reverse is also true. If we're doing something that looks good, but we're actually doing it with bad intention, well, guess what? The Lord knows that too. And that's why, again, just to come back to the scribes and Pharisees, this is exactly why He's going after the scribes and Pharisees. Because they were constantly doing these good things on an objective level, on an external level, they were doing good things, but their intention was not there. They didn't have a good intention. And in fact, sometimes they had a bad intention. Sometimes their intention was simply to do these things, not because they're good, not because they're holy, but just so other people can look at me and say, look at how holy and good I am. You know, to make sure that when I put money in the poor box that a few people are watching me. Well, you know what? If you do that, then not only are you not doing something good, you're doing something bad. Do you know you can go to hell for putting a 20 in the poor box if you do it for the wrong reason? Think about that. That's just one example. But my point is the Lord knows what's on our heart. The Lord knows what our intentions are. So let's keep that in mind today. And keep this constantly before us, that it is not just, that sin is not just something that we say or do, but that this is something that can happen even in our thoughts. And the Lord is calling us not just to be good, holy people on an external, superficial level, but to really purify our intentions and to really allow our relationship with Him to affect not just everything we say and do, but everything we even think.